England is facing an obscenity trial, which the London Times called the biggest case of its sort since the obscenity charge involving D.H. Lawrence's novel Lady Chatterley's Lover in 1960. My guest, Edher Mance of Philadelphia, is named as a co-conspirator for smuggling indecent or obscene materials to London's leading gay bookstore, Gay's the Word. Her Mance co-owns Giovanni's Room, Philadelphia's leading gay and feminist bookstore. Her Mance also exports gay and feminist literature. The obscenity case dates back to April of 1984, when British authorities searched Gay's the Word bookstore and the homes of the store's staff and directors. Using the powers of customs and excise to prohibit indecent or obscene articles, they seized 144 imported titles. They later released 68 of those titles, but the remaining 76 are currently banned from import in England. The trial is scheduled to begin October 6th. Edher Mance interprets this case as discrimination against gay books. We called the British Embassy and Her Majesty's Customs and Excise in London. They declined to comment on the air on this case or on the law applied to the case. But a British Embassy spokesperson did say that the issue behind the case is obscenity, not homosexuality. Giovanni's Room has organized a benefit on the occasion of the second anniversary of the raid on Gay's the Word bookstore. The benefit is to raise money to send Edher Mance and literary witnesses to London to testify on the trial scheduled to begin October 6th of this year. The benefit will be held Thursday, April 10th, from 2 until 7 o'clock at Giovanni's Room on 12th and Pine Streets in Philadelphia. The guests will include Felice Picano, who's a publisher of several of the seized books and the author of one of them, and Charles Silverstein, co-author of The Joy of Gay Sex and Man to Man, both are seized books. The phone number for more information is 923-2960. That's 923-2960. Edher Mance, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you.
Well, let's start with your exportation. It's kind of surprising that a relatively small bookstore, you're not a chain or anything, you're a bookstore in Center City, Philadelphia, and you're exporting books to England. How did you get involved with that?
Because we're a specialty bookstore in feminist and lesbian and gay books, then we got interested in trading with other bookstores overseas. And about 6 years ago, we made contact with Gay's the Word, which may have been 1 or 2 years older at that time. And they bought so many books from us that we ended up opening a wholesale business to distribute. And now we send to about 125 bookstores overseas. And the reason that there was this hole in the market is that because they are specialty books, though it's hard to think that feminist books would be a specialty category, but they are, that the usual international distributors are not good at stocking those books. And so virtually all of the important gay and feminist bookstores around the world buy from us because we collect all of those books in one place. And Gay's the Word was our principal customer for a long time and until 2 years ago. And when the raid came on April the 10th in 84, then that really took away about a third of our wholesale business in one fell swoop.
Let's go back to that raid 2 years ago this month. Can you describe what you know of the search and seizure at the bookstore and the homes of staff members of the bookstore?
It was possible because of the peculiarities of British law that, in the United States, you would need some sort of a search warrant and such like that, or supervision of some sort of a court. But British law allows the customs officials to really do anything they want for as long as they want. An Englishman was in the store today who said that...
In Gay's the Word?
In your store? In our store today, saying that he had Man to Man, which was just seized last month by British Customs. And I didn't tell him, but it's possible that if the customs knew that he had that book in his house, they could go and get it without any search warrant, without anything, of just that the book was an imported obscene book, and therefore they could go get it. So we found out about the raid by a telephone call from Gay's the Word saying that the customs officials had been there for 6 hours. They had taken the manager of the store off to headquarters, and she was questioned for 4 hours without benefit of counsel. They went to the homes of all of the directors of the store and took a lot of personal possessions. That is, you know, they just, one man is a scholar. He has probably 10,000 books in his house. And they went through that whole collection and took whatever they wanted to. They took all of the records of the bookstore, you know, their checkbooks, their orders, order books, everything. So that, you know, for 6 months, they imagine trying to operate a business without any paperwork at all, of having any idea of what you had ordered and so on, of trying to reconstruct all of that information. So, you know, this, my general impression is that it's a, you know, it's a bureaucratic operation, that they are not concerned with how it affects people, or even how, there's no judgment about how serious it is. After they got the books carted off, they had 36 people reading these books for 9 months, you know, taking notes on every time a four-letter word appeared in some book or other, and they made a note of it, and then they produced a schedule of obscene passages from these books. And, you know, I think it would be very difficult to go to any American bookstore or British bookstore, for that matter, and to look through the books and not find a four-letter word somewhere. And so, you know, and all of this, again, is possible because of the peculiarities of the British law, that the law originally was written in 1876. And what the Parliament was thinking of at that time was that someone was sending erotic chess sets from Paris to British girls' boarding schools. And so they wanted a law that would allow them to prevent those chess sets from being imported. So it's the law is phrased as indecent or obscene materials, and what they're thinking about are objects, really. But in, you know, how things accrete on top of that law, then in the interpretations of customs administration as it's come down through the years, then one of the customs officials testified in the hearing this last summer that he had been instructed to detain anything that mentioned lesbianism or homosexuality. And so that's what he did. And he's testified that he would continue to do so as long as, until somebody told him the contrary, that he wasn't supposed to do that.
Can you give us an idea of the range of the books that were seized, and especially the range of books that are still considered obscene and that can't be imported in England?
Mm-hmm. Well, of the 76, there should be divided into two categories. There are eight titles that are mentioned specifically in the conspiracy charges, and then there are, what is the remainder of that, is like 68 books that are not mentioned specifically in the conspiracy charges, but they are nevertheless held, they were all declared indecent or obscene, and they are all part of the evidence of this so-called conspiracy. And the books that are in the most important section, the eight, are The Joy of Gay Sex and The Joy of Lesbian Sex. And those are actually the two books on which this whole case is founded.
I should mention that The Joy of Gay Sex is co-authored by two people who you might have heard on Fresh Air if you're not familiar with the book. One of them is Edmund White, who's been here several times to discuss his novels. And the other is Charles Silverstein, who was on the show several years ago to discuss his book about Family Matters. Yeah, uh-huh. And it was about the reaction of parents whose children have come out, and it's a guide for both children and for parents about dealing with homosexuality in the family.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways,
and one of the ironies of that seizure is that the original Joy of Sex and More Joy of Sex books, as well as these two, were packaged by a British company. That is, you know, instead of authors just abstractly writing a book and submitting it to a publisher, then there are companies that make up package books, that they get the artists together and they get the authors together. And the people that did that are all British. though The Joy of Gay and Joy of Lesbian were never published in Britain. They were only published here. But they are really exactly comparable to the heterosexual volumes, that, you know, they're no more obscene or less obscene than the heterosexual volumes. So there are those two. Another of the big eight is a New York native, two issues of that newspaper, which is a weekly paper published, you know, very much in the sort style of the Philadelphia Gay News or of any big city gay newspaper. And the thing that distinguishes it from the other gay papers is that from the very beginning of the AIDS crisis, it has produced on a weekly basis massive amounts of information. There may be a lot of arguing with their editorial stances and such like that on the AIDS crisis, but there's no question at all that they have been the best source of public information on a regular basis for the gay community.
So the information contained in the New York Native can now not be read in England because publication can't get it.
That's right. We are the international distributor of that newspaper, and we have not sent any copies in over 2 years now. And you know, it does have, I don't know exactly what Customs found offensive in that. There are ads in the way that virtually all counterculture newspapers have, sex ads of one sort or another, of looking for partners and such like that. That may have been what they objected to. But nevertheless, there's that kind of overwhelming importance to the magazine. And just in connection with that, you know, it's as though the AIDS information they're not going to let through. In the United States, the response of a lot of gay men to that AIDS crisis is to try to develop couple relationships. And that has led to a boom in the sales of books like The Male Couple and this Man to Man, which is a psychological counseling book. And now the British have banned the couple book. So not only don't they want you to know about AIDS, but they don't want you to know about how to be a couple, too. You know, of course, none of this is conscious. This is just the effects of this bureaucratic operation it's really, my impression is that it's completely out of control, that the British ambassador, the Chancellor of the Exchequer, who is in charge of customs, and customs officials all deny that there is any discrimination against gay subject matter. But you know, when you have a marriage counseling book for heterosexuals, there's no one. There hasn't been any case about that. There, so far as I know, there have been no major book seizures since 1960. And the D.H. Lawrence book, and all of these things, just another example, is the customs official testified this last summer that he detained a book because it had a blurb on the back of it by Christopher Isherwood. And he knew that Isherwood was a homosexual, and so that, you know, that was a clue to him that he should detain this. And then and the book that he detained is called Treasures on Earth. Ironically, it was first published in Britain. It was out of print there. It was published in the United States, and we sent some copies. It's published by Alfred Knopf, who is one of the most respected publishers of American contemporary fiction. It's a historical novel based on a Yale scientific expedition to Peru in 1912, and this expedition accidentally discovered Machu Picchu. The tale is told from the point of view of the photographer for this expedition, and who calls himself a Uranian, which is, you know, a 1912 word for homosexuals. And again, it's a serious novel. There are sexual passages in the novel, but has anyone read an American novel published in the last 50 years that did not have anything to do with sex, you know? And again, the British law can allow for this sort of thing because there is no defense for merit, that if there is one of those four-letter words in there, then they can seize it because that is indecent or obscene, and there is no defense by saying this is a medical information or anything else.
This is a very celebrated case in England now, and all the literary magazines and supplements are talking about it as the most important case since Lady Chatterley's Lover or Hubert Selby's Last Exit to Brooklyn. What's the reaction in England? What are the publishers and the bookstores and literary community doing?
Well, I haven't had an update in probably 6 months, but major British publishers have contributed to the defense funds, like Penguin and Chatto and Windus and Golan's, others, probably most Americans haven't heard of these, but they are like the cream of the British publishing industry. The Sir Angus Wilson, whose novels we carry because they have gay content, is the head president of the Royal Society for Literature or something like that, has made very strong statements in our support. The Publishers Association in Britain has given strong support. Of course, the bookseller industry in general has supported us.
What about in America? Are you getting support from American publishers whose books are now banned from England?
Some. I'm actually very disappointed that most of the small people, the presses who don't publish more than 15 or 20 books a year, so that they're, you know, all their interest is maybe 60 or 80 books. Those people have been very supportive of us, of, you know, writing and giving money and giving books and so on. The major publishers are, they're very uncertain. They are afraid that, well, they don't want to offend the British by defending their own books, which is a point of view I find difficult to understand, that I would think that Alfred Knopf should send the British a letter saying that this is ridiculous to call our novel an obscene book and destroy it, which is what happens to these books. But, you know, I suppose the thing is that they feel like they would have to invest so much time finding out about the case that and then they might be wrong at the end, and that they would just prefer to stand back and watch and let the trial happen. You know, if those people are sent to jail for 2 years, I intend to talk to each of those publishers, and, you know, is more strongly than I have in the past, you know, that they have done really very little to support us.
My guess is Ed Hermance, who co-owns Giovanni's Room, the Center City, Philadelphia gay and lesbian bookstore, and he's currently indicted in England on charges of co-conspiracy to smuggle in indecent or obscene literature. And what it is that he exports gay and feminist books to several countries, and he exchanges books with London's leading gay bookstore, and many books were confiscated there, and they're books that have homosexual content in it. Many of them have sex scenes in it, but many of them are psychological counseling type books or newspapers or magazines. Let's get back to you, Ed. Now, you're charged as a co-conspirator here. What could be the consequences for you? Say the whole group is found guilty. What would that mean?
I don't really know that. I got a letter from the British ambassador this week saying that he had made inquiries at customs to find out if I would be arrested if I were to go to England. And customs says they don't know.
So if you go to England to testify in the trial and you're found guilty, you might not come back for a couple of years.
Well, I might be arrested when I entered the country, as no one knows.
Well, are the people from Gage the Word in jail now?
No, they are not in jail.
But had been in jail and they were released?
No, they haven't been. Well, they have been questioned. They've been held for questioning, but they haven't actually been arrested. Well, I'm not sure about that. They're charged, so they must have been arrested in some sense of the word.
But you're afraid when you get off the airplane, you might be arrested.
That's right. It might happen. And the National Council for Civil Liberties in England, which is representing Gays the Word, is trying to extract some sort of a promise from customs that they will not arrest me. But, you know, I haven't heard any news about that. And they've been trying to do that for 6 months at least. So
do you want to go under the circumstances?
Yes, I would.
You're going to take that chance.
That the trial is going to be in the Old Bailey, where WHYY's fans of Horace Rumpole have seen all of that lovely woodwork. I would love to testify in that dock. And two, I think that when people hear the words that, oh, there's an obscenity case or something like that, then there are all these dark people who are, you know, evil in some way. I think it's very important to show them that, you know, we're reasonably intelligent and responsible people and want to that this case is really absurd.
What kind of effect, and we only have a couple of minutes left, but what kind of effect do you think that this case is having on the gay community in England and in America, people here who are following what's happening in England?
It's difficult to know. And one impression that I have is that this is just a bureaucratic mess, that certain customs officials started working on this case, and they decided that there were a few books that they didn't like, and then it snowballed. At the same time, in England, you know, the police have in the last year or so taken to writing down license tags, numbers of people who are parked near to gay bars in London. Of course, who knows whether whose car is there, license, you know, tags they're taking down. You know, they may or may not be gay just because they're parked near to a gay bar. I don't think that there's, you know, in general, the social atmosphere is significantly different in England than it is here. But it's obviously, it raises a lot of pressure on the gay community of having to raise thousands and thousands of dollars to fight a trial like this when, you know, all they're going to, if they win, they're just back to where they started from. And so, you know, and on the other hand, perhaps the struggle itself is a unifying factor, and that, you know, the issues will be clearer in people's heads. And maybe if, regardless of the outcome of this case, somehow there will be change of the British laws that will allow, you know, British published books have, you can defend them on the merit of the case. And some of the books that were seized in our case have since been published in Britain with no difficulties at all, although they are still evidence in this trial of a conspiracy.
So if I'm interpreting you correctly, you're really not sure now whether the English government would like to see these books remain declared obscene, or whether they're kind of embarrassed by the way the whole thing has been handled and they'd like to...
I'm completely baffled by their situation. Mm-hmm. That they have had plenty of opportunities to withdraw.
And
they say the right things, like the British ambassador, like the Chancellor of the Exchequer, you know, that this, there's no question of discrimination against homosexuality. They say the right things, but then the practice is blatantly opposed to what the theory is. So I really don't know what their intentions are.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you very much for telling us about this case and your involvement in it. My guest has been Ed Hermance, and he runs Giovanni's Room Bookstore. He co-owns the bookstore in Center City, Philadelphia, and it's the leading gay and feminist bookstore in the city. He has been charged as a co-conspirator in smuggling obscene or indecent literature into England, and he exports gay and feminist literature, and many of those books were seized from London's leading gay bookstore, Gay's the Word, and the books range from novels to counseling books. The Joy of Gay Sex is one of the books. The New York Native is a publication that's still seized, and that's a gay newspaper from out of New York. There's a benefit to raise money to send Ed Hermance and literary witnesses to London to testify in the trial, which is scheduled to begin October 6, 1986. And in England, the trial is being referred to as perhaps the most important obscenity case since D.H. Lawrence's Lady Chatterley's Lover. The benefit will be held Thursday, April 10th from 2 until 7 o'clock at Giovanni's Room at 12th and Pine Streets. And the guest speakers will be Felice Picano, who has published several of the seized books and has authored one of them, and Charles Silverstein, who is a psychologist and co-author of The Joy of Gay Sex and Man to Man, both of which are seized books. For more information about the benefit, you can call 923-2960. That's 923-2960. Ed Hermance, thanks again for being with us.
Thanks for having me.